I am Rebecca Alamilla with Columbia Green Domestic Violence, which is a program of Community Action of Greene County Incorporated. I assist survivors and victims of domestic violence and their families through the process of court, through healing. I do counseling, advocacy, accompaniment to appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition of domestic violence is a coercive pattern of behaviors that one partner utilizes to gain power and control over the other in an intimate relationship.
Mm. Ray, did you understand that?
Yes, I did.
I did too. So what
was
I
clear.
Very clear.
Hey,
Rebecca,
I tried.
Rebecca's going to be clear. So what I want to do today, Rebecca, is that, and we've done this before. It's been a while, but I have some myths about domestic violence, and what I want to do is kind of like throw you a couple alley-oops because I'm gonna, and I'll ask Ray first.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then you tell me if it's a fact or if it's a myth. If it is a myth, can you tell me the fact?
Sure.
You with that, Ray?
Yep.
All right. Some of these are going to be, you know, self-explanatory, but I think they're going to be pretty good. All right. The first one is victims are only young women.
False.
Rebecca?
Cool. Victims are not only young women. Actually, the victimization by domestic violence is closer to the microphone.
Yeah.
It is predominantly women. However,
wait. I'm sorry. You said predominantly women, right?
Predominantly.
Okay. All right.
Predominantly women. However, we do see that men can be victims of domestic violence, and domestic violence victims cross all cultural, religious, socioeconomic, educational borders.
Okay. Ray. So we got a little circle going on here. Ready?
Okay.
All right, Ray. Mm-hmm. Couple counseling is the answer to stopping the abuse.
I'm going to say false.
I just
feel like there's more to it.
You are correct, Ray. Because domestic violence requires that imbalance of power and control, it's not about two people who are having a hard time navigating their relationship, sitting down with a therapist and learning how to communicate better. Anytime that you have that imbalance of power and control, there can't be a really honest interaction between two people.
It's not rape if you're married.
False.
Also false. Anytime your partner is incapable of consent or does not give consent to a sexual act, it is indeed sexual assault or rape, regardless of your relationship.
Now I want to step in here a little bit, and you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Yep.
And we'll go way back. At some point in time, it was put into people's head, not just men or women, that's what was supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it, doesn't make it right. I've heard it, doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
But I was like, you can't rape your wife. So what happened there? Like, what happened back then that where it was okay till now, where so it was never okay?
It was never okay. But just like we look at the cultural changes with the civil rights movement, we've seen cultural changes with the feminist movement. Women were once considered property.
Yeah, you know what? I got to give her a clap.
Yeah.
Because, listen, I threw alley-oop. She dunked it hard, though. That was good, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. That was good. You bring up the black people. I see what you did. That was good. That was good. No. That was the only thing you could do.
I see what you did there.
That's the truth, though.
No, that was dope. Truth. That was a great comparison. All right, let's continue on. Victims of abuse are weak.
False.
You ever try to live through something like that? So here's what I say. My victims and survivors are absolutely, bar none, the strongest people I've ever met. Because not only have they lived through that situation, and like I said, it's a pattern of behaviors. It's a cycle. It's not a one-time event.
Mm-hmm.
So they've lived through all of that, and they have reached out for help, or they have been told to get help, and they truly and honestly seek that help, and they rebuild their whole lives, and they move forward. You can't find stronger on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with you.
It's amazing.
So let's cut a little bit and explain what October means to domestic violence.
So October is nationally Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So every month, all month, every 12 months of the year, we're always trying to bring awareness to domestic violence and to the people who suffer with domestic violence or have come out the other side. However, October is a month that was actually set aside along with breast cancer awareness. And I recently learned Agent Orange impact awareness for Vietnam vets. So that's all for October. Three different colors. Domestic violence awareness is purple. Yeah. Breast cancer awareness is pink. Agent Orange impact awareness is orange.
Can you stop?
As it should be.
Can you stop? Because I'm telling you, when you said Agent Orange, I thought you was talking about that guy.
45?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I don't ever talk about that guy.
Agent Thanks. Tangerine.
No, I was like, what is he talking about?
Vietnam veterans, Vern.
Yeah, no, listen.
You got it. All right.
I got it.
So, because, you know, we're of that age.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So it sprung out of the Day of Unity. It was the Women's Day of Unity in the 1980s, and they decided to make an entire month out of it.
Wow.
So our agency is doing some pretty cool stuff. Our social media accounts are doing facts, domestic violence facts, as well as cool things survivors have said or have posted or cool things about survivors every day, multiple times a day, across two Facebook pages and our Twitter feed. We delivered cookies to some of the local, a few of the local agencies who support our clients, which really has nothing to do with us. It's just a way to say thank you. Because even if some, even if a victim's not our client, thank you. Thank you for helping people out. We have purple flags going up in Catskill, little ground flags. There'll be one flag for each, man, woman, or child that we've served in Greene County. And we're also looking for a place to do that in Columbia County. Greene County.
Can I get a flag to put on my lawn?
They're little tiny surveyor flags, but yeah. I mean, if that really is, you know.
Yeah.
I think I can make that happen for you, Vern. Or Ray.
Well,
you know what? Usually it's Vern arguing with me, so I have Vern.
There was an argument?
There wasn't even an argument yet. And we'll have purple ribbons around the trees along Main Street in Catskill, and we're looking to do the same on Warren Street in Hudson, although that requires contacting all of the individual stores
on
Hudson. Apparently, the stores or the whoever owns that building by the tree owns the tree.
So
you have to get their permission. So we have a couple of different events going on. There's going to be a DV 101 at a as yet determined place over in Catskill.
Okay.
But I'll keep everyone posted. I'll be here every Wednesday through the month.
Okay. Yeah, you will. You definitely will.
Yeah.
I want to continue on because, you know,
we're going
in, Ray. You with me?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. So I'm going to start to read something. And once I start to read it, because you are the person you are, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. And I want you to take it from there. Deal?
Do you want me to move my microphone away till you're done reading?
No. Well, you can say whatever you want because I think this one is important to you.
Okay. All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
As of January 1st, 2020, do I have to go anymore?
No.
the following, you know exactly
the
what
the following offenses will no longer be allowable for bail.
Wait. Ray, you see that?
Yeah.
You see that, Ray? I got to give
good.
Her a clap.
That's
it. Like, listen, this like me and her could be on like Jeopardy or something, a team or something, man. Yeah.
That was smooth.
But Rebecca, go and go into some detail about this because I saw this on your page and it seems like it's a really big deal.
It is. So for domestic violence crimes, often when there are criminal charges brought up, there isn't in New York State a single a criminal offense just called domestic violence. So charges are harassment or menacing or, you know, attempted assault, things like that.
There are lesser charges, that's what you're saying?
Well, not lesser charges, but the officers are making the charge right there on the scene. So they're not saying, they don't have medical reports.
Okay.
They don't, there may not be marks yet. Everyone's traumatized. The officers are trying to assess the situation quick. So things are initially, especially charged under a number of different statutes. So a lot of times it's a harassment, it's stalking, it's menacing, it's disorderly conduct, but they're getting those charges in and they're, you know, doing the arraignment in front of the judge and they're asking for an order of protection for the victim. And that's in our local courts here in New York State. not our county court. That's the immediacy of the charges. So New York State has done bail reform and a criminal justice reform act, which has made it so that the judges can't levy bail against the accused for most misdemeanor offenses.
Okay.
So that means in a lot of our domestic violence cases, perpetrators, accused perpetrators, are going to be released at the time.
On RR.
They're not even going
to... Just get a ticket?
Yeah, they're going to get an appearance ticket.
So does this have any connection to... Because I remember when you were here before, there was this big thing going on that Trump was going to take away some monies and...
That was the... We were worried about VAWA at that point. No, this is nothing. This is only New York State. This is a New York State Criminal Justice Reform Act that goes into effect January 1st. So, and there's a whole list. I got it from WTEN, or WMIT, the full list. And I understand from whence it came, but it does pose a problem for our clients. You know, it's going to put people's safety at risk when they're calling the police to respond to a domestic violence incident, because no matter what, that person's being released.
Oh, so basically, because some of the charges are assault in the third degree,
right?
Aggravated vehicular assault, mm-hmm. Aggravated assault upon a person less than 11 years old.
Yep.
So wait a minute. So you mean to tell me, aggravated assault?
Yep.
Upon a person less than 11 years old.
Yes.
And you get an ROR.
Yes. You get an appearance ticket. Yes. Those are no longer offenses that a judge can bail you for. So our judges, especially in upstate, have a lot of latitude as far as bail goes. So a judge here in the city of Hudson, you may be brought in on something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And one of the judges here in Hudson may look at that and go, listen, Vern has lived here his whole life. Mm-hmm. His kids are here. His family's here. He's not a bail risk. He's not a risk. He's going to come back to his court appearance. This is, you know, his first time, whatever. The judge has a lot of latitude. And if it was something that was violent, mm-hmm. regardless of the level of the violence that it's charged at, for the public safety and public good, the judge could also look at that.
Are there isolated incidents where maybe that might be a better thing? Like, you know, there's situations where we all make mistakes.
Mm. Right.
So,
and you know what? This stemmed from a young man in New York City. And this is the story that's been used a lot. A young man in New York City was picked up with, I think it was an ounce of marijuana, mm-hmm. and was jailed. No bail. Or with a really high bail.
High bail. Yeah, you got to get a bail unless he's on parole or probation,
right.
or something like that.
Young kid, high bail, ends up in Rikers. With the slowness of the justice system in New York City, he was in Rikers for an extended period of time.
I know what it is, and he died.
And, yes, he actually committed suicide after release.
Jay-Z. It's the, what you call him, story? That Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Jay-Z story.
So,
what you call him? I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. So when you're looking at cases like that, are you kidding me? Come on. Yeah, there needs to be some kind of reform, but I think it needed to be education on the part of the judges more than this wide sweeping reform, which for upstate, you know, we're in a very different place.
Yeah.
So it's caused a little bit of concern in both counties. The both Columbia and Greene County District Attorney's offices have been preparing for this,
mm-hmm.
Preparing, you know, our clients and our victims for this, preparing the advocates, making sure that we're on board and know what's coming down the pike. Police have, you know, made sure that we know what's coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. So it's been some prep time, and you know, I don't think anything's ever going to feel like enough prep time. I think it mm-hmm. takes a lot for someone to call the police in the first place. And now there's not that option for, no, you know, they're not going to be coming home tonight.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know?
Yeah.
Ray?
I didn't want to jump off of this, but the question I had, I was thinking about this yesterday, because I knew you were going to be here.
Yeah.
And, I just kind of, my wheels just kind of started turning, and I was thinking, one thing that kept popping into my head as I'm thinking about domestic violence and how it plays out, and it's because I think it's triggered by the fact that I was watching a video, and cognitive dissonance comes to play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wanted to ask your thoughts on, I kind of started to feel like the manipulation and the mental kind of war that goes on in a relationship that has domestic violence, I feel like it creates a cognitive dissonance in the victim.
Yeah.
To their abuser. And I wanted to know your thoughts on
stop,
that.
Stop, really quick. Khalif Browder. That's who you were talking about. Now go. Now
okay.
Listen.
I could not remember that name to save my
either.
Life.
Yeah,
I
couldn't either.
Now, I have to go to the bathroom. So, this I'm going to show you right now. I think Slay going to call. There's Slay calling. All right, let me get him on the phone.
Here he comes.
Hold on. Yeah. I like your question.
I do, too.
Appreciate that.
Oh, I can't put him on yet. But, yeah. Oh man, I gotta go to bathroom. Bad, yo.
Do you really? How bad, Vern?
Like really bad.
Because this could be a good discussion.
Yeah, well, you tell me about it.
So, to a great extent, yes, we're all taught from an early age. Well, most of us, even if it's just getting it from our friends, that someone screaming at you, yelling at you, hitting you, is not okay. However, in a domestic violence situation, there is certainly a level of grooming.
Hold on.
Yep.
It's Mr. WGX.
Hello, Your Eminence.
Hello, sir.
Your Eminence.
Hello, you're on the air.
I can barely hear you.
And we can barely hear you. Yo, where you at, man?
You can't be honorable and have bad internet connection or bad phone connection.
I can't tell y'all where I'm at, but an undisclosed location.
It's the first Wednesday. I know where you at.
Yeah.
And that's actually, you know, one of the, like, key things with this new legislation is that Khalif Browder actually was accused of stealing a book bag that he actually did not steal, but he was held because he didn't have enough money to go home on bail. So he was held for almost over a year.
I actually thought it was longer than that.
Anybody who knows that story knows that, you know, he did a lot of time in the box. And a lot of that, you know, caused him to, you know, take his own life when he came home. So when I think about this legislation, it's not always, you know, people are just going home. Like, sometimes people are getting arrested for things like, you know, tickets. And then they get arrested and they can't afford the bail, so now they lose their job. And then it's like,
right.
How am I supposed to pay these tickets if I'm losing my job because I'm sitting in jail? And there's a number of, you know, people who get arrested that are innocent. So they sit in jail that whole time being punished when they haven't even been convicted of a crime. So, you know, I've always been in favor of this legislation, but there are some kind of errors, I guess you would call it, in this legislation that still need to be fixed, but that goes with anything new.
I think what's bothersome is that by the time they fix it, how many lives are going to be affected and or lives lost on the domestic violence and interpersonal violence scale. And that stinks. I wish it had been looked at more carefully before being put into place.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, there's also, you know, some wording around, like, you know, burglary and different things like that where it kind of gives access to the suspect that might feel unfair to a victim. And there are some things in there that need to be fixed, but overall, the legislation has kind of been put out there for, you know, people to have a fair chance.
Well, I will say that
a lot of people, especially in black and brown communities, that have been taken advantage of by the justice system and by, you know, getting high bails that they can't afford, so they're sitting in jail to the point where they take any plea because they just don't want to go through this process anymore.
And I'm not saying you're wrong, Slay, but I'm saying that things needed to be looked at and it should have been more mindful. There's also a provision in there that anyone who testifies in front of a grand jury, their home address and information has to be given to the defendant. That's discovery, and that makes sense. But there are times when people who are called to testify in front of grand jury are advocates, child protective service workers, and we're not allowed to give our work addresses.
Yeah, I didn't know that part. I know if you are, like, if there's a crime scene or something like that, I don't know the part about, you know, giving out, like, any workers or anything like that, addresses.
Everyone except law enforcement.
I'm feeling this. But I got to go to the bathroom. So I don't know what you guys want to do.
So really, you're feeling your bladder.
Yeah, I really got to go to the bathroom.
No, I just called in for my two cents.
We respect this lady.
Miss you, Slay.
Always appreciate it, bro.
You already know, bro.
I'm in your seat.
Yeah, she's in your seat.
Just keep it warm.
Listen, you've seen me. You know I am.
Slay, good looking, man. Go do your thing at the meeting, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
All hands on deck.
All hands on deck.
All hands on deck.
All right. Yo, we got to take a... I'm so sorry. We got to take a break, man. I'll be right back. I really have to go to the damn bathroom.
You are now listening to Big Vern and Kay Slay on WGXE 90.7 FM. Hutton, Agra, Catskill. Stay tuned, because we'll be right back.
This is The Remix.
Ooh. the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do. But now I'm back with the facts, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pimp smack you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops I can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's the sound number two. You say it ain't cool. My mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I got a stay strapped. And I never get to lay back. Cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back. Coming back after all these years. Right, tat, 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 tat.
That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is.
Way it is.
Oh yeah.
So cool.
You're my brother, you're my sister. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is. I had to
never
go to the bathroom.
The things will never be the same.
I'm telling you, I had to go.
That's just the way it is.
No, really, I did. No, really, I didn't. Let me explain to you guys. Like, I'm upset with myself because I don't want to interrupt the show, but I'm on this new kick. So I'm trying to drink 4 waters a day. You know, that's a lot of water. Well, I had to go to the bathroom. That's just it. That's all I'm giving you. Rebecca, you ready?
Vern, yeah.
Yeah. And listen, I had to go.
I get it.
But I had music to play.
Men of a certain age, it happens.
Yeah, listen, Rebecca, the one thing that you're never going to do is age shame me.
No, listen. Let me tell you, wait, same age, I understand.
No, but you didn't say it like that. Now, listen, you ain't going to start with me and don't let me finish. Now, if you want to, if we're going to have a battle here, Ray, we can have a battle.
Uh-oh.
Now, you're not going to age shame me. Now, I'm just going to go there. I'm not going to do it to you because I like you a lot. I'll save it if you do it again. I got a stat for you that you're going to love if you do it again.
He was not going to thug at me, was
no,
he?
No, no. No,
we haven't done that in a while.
Thugger haven't been out in a while. All
right, good.
All right, let's go back to some more myths. Possible myths. Ready?
Let's do it.
Financial abuse isn't real. It's a person's responsibility to be financially independent.
Wait, say that one more time.
Financial abuse isn't real. It's a person's responsibility to be financially independent.
False.
Financial abuse can be a lot of things. We've had cases where the abuser was actually the unemployed person who was taking care of the children.
Wait, whoa. For real?
For real. And the victim was not allowed to access any of their paycheck. The debit cards for the account, all access to the bank account was denied the victim. The victim was given an allowance every week to get back and forth to work. Any overtime hours or time that the victim was not going to be home at the exact time that the batterer said had to be cleared first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's financial abuse for that victim to not even be able to access their own paycheck once they fled the batterer. They still couldn't access their paycheck.
Wow.
So what I want to do is I want to leave our DV talk there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to pick it up next week.
Absolutely.
You know, and pick it up next week. Like I said, we have Rebecca here for 5 weeks. So
I want to talk a lot about grooming. I mean, we've seen that a lot with celebrities especially. So I'm kind of excited that we have an extended period of time.
Yeah,
maybe next week we'll do some more. I got some more myths and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is something that I want to have a discussion about. It's the last 15 minutes. We're going to play an audio.
Okay.
I know Ray's excited. I have some intake on it, and I want to hear Rebecca's side. So this is going to be good. Here we go.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
The jury having reached a verdict, Ms. Geiger and your team, would you please stand? We, the jury, unanimously find the defendant, Amber Geiger, guilty of murder as charged in the indictment. No outburst. And it is signed by the presiding juror, who is juror number 11. Mr. Rogers, would you like to have the jury poll?
There you
are. All right. You may be seated, Ms. Geiger.
Okay, so let's talk about this. This is important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for different reasons. And I really want to go into it mainly because I don't know how I feel about this anymore.
Hmm.
I don't. No, I'm telling you, I just don't know how I feel about it. You know, don't abuse me. I'm not making light of it, but I have an opportunity to have my own opinion about certain things, and I just really don't know how I feel about it. Okay. So now, should we go back and tell the story about the off-duty officer, the off-duty white officer from Texas that went into the wrong house and shot an innocent black male? And
I think we talked about this on the show too.
Yeah, no, we definitely did.
Yeah.
But so now she was found guilty.
Yeah.
And now they're waiting sentences.
Of murder, yeah.
Yeah, of murder. Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how do you guys feel about her being found guilty?
I feel like that was the right decision on the part of the jurors involved. I'm glad that they came to that conclusion. Yeah, I'm just ready to hear how they sentence her, because that's going to be – I'm not completely sold yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that this mother is starting to get the closure that she needs,
mm-hmm.
but I hope they don't fumble this ball with the sentencing.
Rebecca?
Well, I've learned a lot about the justice system in the past like year and a half. I've actually sat through several trials of different kinds of offenses. So having not sat through the trial, having read just the articles coming out of newspapers local to this case, I believe firmly that the jury made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm trusting the media, their local media. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping where they don't fumble the ball, as Ray put it, is with sentencing. Because when you look at things like the Brock Turner case, Brock Turner was found guilty of sexual assault and was sentenced to 6 months.
6 months, yeah.
So while we were all thrilled that this guy was found guilty because that was such a violent and huge case, he got 6 months.
And I think she's looking at between 2 and 99 years.
Right.
Yeah,
anywhere between. Yeah.
There's a lot of latitude
between five and 99.
Yeah.
Here's my thing, man. Y'all got to forgive me. I'm playing devil's advocate. But I'm really not.
Bro.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, why? Y'all going to be mad at me, man. I might be mad at me. But why does this one white woman has to pay for the crimes that weren't, you know, she committed a crime. We understand that. But now everybody's like, yeah, we won one. Everything, this is separate. And now what are we doing? We putting the Trayvon Martin on her. We putting the Sandra Bland on her. Like, we pretty much, and I'm not saying we, but it seems like we're doing what they do to us.
Yep.
Yep.
Like, I agree.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, it took me a second to really look at it because, like, there was some funny stuff going on there. But what if it really was an accident? What if it was an officer that just worked too many hours? PSD. That's what it's called?
PTSD. Yeah.
PTSD. What if it was that? She's got to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got to pay. But the narrative is. The narrative is, well, we got to wait till sentences because of Brock.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I see exactly what you're saying.
I know what I'm saying.
Like, she got to pay. Like,
I've seen some of those comments on different threads, and I have to agree with you 100%. And for me, and I can only speak for me, of course. For me, I'm looking at it like I'm waiting for sentencing, not because I feel like she should pay for all the past times where they got it wrong.
No,
I'm saying this is a family who a mother had to bury her son.
Correct.
And this is over you not knowing what apartment you were going to and shooting.
But
this was a situation
where...
What
if it was a mistake, Ray?
There's too much, for me,
too much
evidence that said if it was a mistake and this happened, then I'd still feel like she has to pay, and I still feel like this mom still deserves closure. But I don't feel she has to pay for the mistakes the justice system made with all the other cases
and
that
that's
we've
what
seen.
And that's the only thing I'm saying.
I agree with you.
I think that the narrative is, listen, let's go back.
Castillo, this one, that one.
Listen,
yeah,
let's go
yeah.
back. OJ, every black person had a good feeling that OJ could have, probably should have, might have done it.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I love it when you say that.
I need my black card. That's why I need my shirt.
I know.
I got to go places. But my point is, like, we were just so, like,
yeah.
why? like at what point do we get in our country that it's not about anything like right is right and wrong is wrong.
Yeah.
That's it. And she can't pay for what the justice system allowed to happen. And now we talking about an off-duty cop. If she was on duty, but then let's go further. We're talking about a woman. You said yourself that it was a point when women didn't matter.
Yep.
So are we really winning? Are we winning when they are going to fry, per se, an off-duty cop, an off-duty woman cop? Are we really winning?
But I don't think it's about... I think it's about justice being served in this case, Vern, that she entered the wrong apartment, shot first, asked questions later.
That's what cops do.
But she wasn't on duty.
I know, but she's still a cop.
But that doesn't make it right.
Listen, I know it's not right, but I'm just saying, if that was your cousin, if that was your sister, if that was your aunt, would you not be fighting to say, like, listen, she's not that person? Now, I don't know if she is as she is, you know what I'm saying? And I know that she got to pay for it. So I'm saying you got to go to prison. You just got to go to prison.
Right.
But why is the media, why are we allowing it to be like, oh, we're going to win this one? Win what?
I think it's interesting that the conviction came on a woman.
On a woman?
I did. That's not me pulling my check card.
No, no.
That's me saying, listen, the Castillo case, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So wasn't
the wife
in,
and the kid in the back in the Castillo place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, and listen, I thought we might have, I'm almost sure we dealt with a topic last week, something similar. Oh, yeah. It was a black,
the officer?
Resource officer.
Yeah, with the child.
With the child.
Arresting the child.
Arresting the six-year-old.
Yep.
And was fired immediately.
Immediate action.
Mm-hmm.
Immediate. So now we got a woman. We got a man of color. Like, why is this happening? Are we really seeing... listen, she did what she did. She got to pay the price.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like she got to pay, and that 5 years or that 10 years, not even that 15, is gonna cut it for me. And it's not because of all of the stuff that was that the justice system has failed us on. It's been for me, like I said, this mother had to bury her son.
Hold on,
I agree. Right?
Hold on, everybody. Yeah. Hold on. Shout out to Tam. Exclusive news. Tam just sent it to me. She got sentenced to 10 years.
Wow.
She got sentenced to 10 years. Tam just sent me it just now. Shout out to Tam.
Wow.
Sentenced to 10 years in prison for
so I
murdering.
Guess the difference is, too, so I don't know what the statutes are in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
And Texas is a crazy state, too.
Right. In New York State, that could have been like a manslaughter. Mm-hmm. You kill the person, but you didn't mean it.
But 10 years for a white female cop?
There's a man dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 10-year sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Dead.
I don't understand. I'm trying to understand it. 10 years.
10 years.
But it's 10 years.
It's only 10 years.
That's not good enough.
I don't know.
Listen, we know people.
I know
people doing a couple decades.
But that's the thing
for
about
nonviolent
it.
Crimes.
But that's New York.
But
every state's statutes are different.
No,
I don't know what.
Rebecca, I understand what
Texas,
you're saying.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying. But I clearly understand what Ray is saying.
No,
I don't want to walk down that path. And I understand what you're saying. And Ray, right. I want you to walk down that path because I'm not going to walk down it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes our discussion that much stronger. Yeah. But I don't want to walk down that path because we understand that there's some problem with the we need justice reform. We got to reform
the system.
Absolutely.
The system is trash.
Yeah.
But 10 years?
10 years. 10 years for taking a man's life.
What if it was an accident?
What if it was? An accident is, I thought my car was in park. It wasn't.
No, that's your accident. That's yours.
No, this is my definition of an accident.
I can't see myself accidentally killing nobody.
I could see myself. At one point in time when I was in these streets, I could definitely see myself killing somebody by accident.
But the difference in that situation, we had... I get what you're saying. And I'm going to keep it with her. They had, what, 30, 40 some odd other people of that residence?
Yeah.
Who also said that they made that mistake of walking to the wrong floor and didn't realize they was on the wrong floor until after the fact?
Mm-hmm.
None of them killed
this
nobody.
This is the first dead guy, right?
Nobody killed nobody.
But, see, but listen, like, look, again, devil's advocate. I'm just saying, like, you know, we're talking about an officer. We're talking about maybe she's overworked, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's a woman. I just threw that in there, yeah, Rebecca. Yeah. I don't know. But my point is, what if it was like, so do we think that she, do we think that she meant to go in there and shoot him?
No, I don't think she meant to go into the wrong apartment. I do somewhat think that there's some possibility that she walked into the wrong apartment. I think that's possible. You got a bunch of other tenants that said they did the same thing.
No, she said she walked in the wrong apartment.
Okay, so do we think that she went there with the intention to kill him?
No, I think the moment that he stood up or tried to stand up and said,
but
hey,
she's
hey,
a
hey,
cop.
It doesn't matter, bro. At
cops
that moment,
shoot first. That's what they do.
Then she don't need to be a cop.
Right.
Yeah, well, you're not, she ain't going to be a cop no more.
Yeah, you in your you in the resident. You walk into the wrong resident. Okay, of course, at that moment, you don't realize you're in the wrong place. All right, cool. You see this guy stand up. He was sitting there eating some ice cream watching a TV show.
TV show, yeah.
He stands up and supposedly goes, hey, hey, hey.
Why didn't he have his door locked? And I'm not
he might have been comfortable.
Listen,
did you see how fast my head turned?
And I'm not blaming the victim. I'm not blaming the victim. I'm having discussion.
Saying.
I'm having discussion.
Right. You're saying
for
in a perfect world.
For me, it's just take a second. Like, I mean, can you not take a second and?
But all I'm asking,
you had to reach, pull.
But listen, answer me. Just answer me, please. Do either of you think that she intentionally went in there to shoot him?
No.
I don't think her intent was to go to the wrong to this man's house and shoot this man specifically.
But
I just
from what I've heard, there was no
her decision making was terrible.
Yeah.
All right. So
once she got into that house, that was
so
not
10
hers.
So 10 years is not enough.
It's not enough.
I'm sorry.
Because you know what? The other thing is, I happen to know a lot of police officers, and you guys know this. You know, like I know a lot of they're in my family. They think before pulling that gun.
But they
a
all
good,
don't.
But a good officer does.
But see,
let me ask
you
a question.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Let's switch the scenario a little bit.
Okay.
Let's say it's still the same man, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has a child.
Mm-hmm.
He runs out the door. Door's unlocked. He runs out the door to go throw the trash out real quick. She does the same thing, walks in that thing, shoots, sees a child. And
I see where you're going, but
bam!
But here's here's what I see. What I see where you're going, and here's where I'm gonna kind of throw a block up for you.
Yeah.
And not only am I gonna throw a block up for you, but I'm gonna give you what you want.
Mm-hmm.
In our society, the sight of a black male is intimidating.
I agree.
A kid is not. I don't think if she walked in there and saw a white male, a white woman, or a black kid, she would have shot. I just think that she probably thought she was in her house and she shot. She did not mean to, but she shot. And police, the training, they teach you to kill, right? Mm-hmm. You don't.
Yeah, that you shoot. You shoot
to kill.
Yeah, you shoot to kill.
So I understand what you're saying. And that was a perfect example. But I just don't think that a kid is intimidating.
When I say kid, I should have said teenager.
She would have shot him.
And I would still be sitting here saying you deserve more than 10 years.
But she wouldn't have shot a white. I don't think she would have shot a white teenager.
Now, even saying that, now if there's any truth to what you just said, then that
further.
That's
very true.
No. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that further confirms she shouldn't have had a gun in the first place.
But I mean, she could have a gun just by being just a licensed gun holder.
Oh no, she can.
Yeah,
I mean, she lives in the state of Texas.
She could have a gun no matter what.
But
the point of the matter,
testimony
that the society is the way that we are being portrayed is very messed up, and I don't think that she intentionally went to kill him, how long should she get?
Life.
So
life.
If she did it by mistake, how long should she get? Life.
But then they have to prove that she did it by mistake.
I know.
And from the information the information that was out there, you were sexting before you got there.
Sexting him.
No, but you was flirting. Like, because they tried to go to my understanding, they were trying to go with the whole disoriented fatigue from a long day and tired and this and the third. You weren't too tired to set up your meeting with homeboy. You weren't too, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, you made that mistake and walked into an apartment. Like, usually when you fatigued and you tired, you fumbling and messing around with everything evening to close out the day. Yeah. I'm not sitting there texting to meet up with my boo to go get some later on and then walk into the wrong crib and shoot somebody.
But don't your instincts kick in?
We can't have it both ways.
Yeah, but you can, really.
No.
She got it both ways.
No, but you can, because I could see that happening. You've never been in a situation.
Even if you pull your gun. There's a man standing in front of you going, wait, wait, wait. at that second, you take that split second and go, that's not my couch.
But
the red doormat in the front of the door, right, when she walked in.
She walked into that apartment, drew her gun, and fired without thinking about it.
She tried to say that the dude was walking towards her, but the autopsy report said that he was in some sort of flinching position if he was scared.
So wait, I'm confused. So you're saying it was intentional?
I'm saying she pulled the trigger intentionally.
I'm saying it wasn't premeditated. She ended that man's life intentionally, but was it premeditated? I don't think it was premeditated.
Yeah, I don't think she sat in her car and said, oh, I'm going to go walk down here and make this idea of,
You know what I haven't done yet this week? I haven't killed a black man.
At what point did it become a problem?
When she, for me, when she walked in the front door, and because I understood if